That's called in a rush. Now, for some of you adults, you might think that that's moving kind of slow. But the Spirit is the one who gives us the breath of life. And the Spirit is the one who gets us moving. So that we can, as the Spirit gives us utterance, speak about the mighty acts of God. Like the death of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus, and the forgiveness of sins, and the hope of everlasting life. And in case we forget or we get afraid, He wraps us in a comforter. He puts that quilt of prayer and love around us so that we know that we were made for a purpose and that we are living on purpose for the glory of God. We've got Spirit. Yes, we do. We've got Spirit. How about you? Anybody remember those days? Like maybe the gridiron was between you and the opposing team? Or maybe there was a basketball floor between you and the opposing team? We've got Spirit. Yes, we do. We've got Spirit. How about you? And of course, the other team wanted to outshout you. They wanted to show that they believed more, that they had more team spirit, that they were really the winners, right? So the volume would be louder and more intense, and the bantering back and forth. They might even forget that there was a game going on right in front of them. We've got Spirit. Yes, we do. Not just kind of a superficial sort of spirit of the age, but the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the crucified and risen Jesus Christ, your Lord, your Savior. We're talking about specificity here. The gift of the Holy Spirit given to the bride of Christ, the church, on her birthday. Pentecost, the birthday of the church, the bride of Jesus. And God comes with the presence, the real presence, wrapping the church up in a mighty rushing wind and giving them tongues of fire, on fire for Jesus Christ, His kingdom. Why? Why the rush? Can't we just sit down and twiddle our thumbs for a while? Well, if somebody's bleeding out, you're going to know that it's time to do something fast, right? Why the rush? What a rush. The Pentecostal gift of Almighty God. Now, when I think about Pentecost, and I think about Pentecost, the feast, one of the things that I'm always mindful of, it was in the 1990s, it was down in the Deep South, but it was in a Pentecostal church. And the pastor was preaching on Acts chapter 2 and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he was fired up. Huh? You know, he evidently had something important to say, as opposed to, well, how about we just sit here and think about our individual opinions? Well, he got into the pulpit and he says, "You've got Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you." And there was a woman, she was seated in the front row next to her husband. This church on Pentecost Sunday had the tradition. They always gave everybody a red carnation when they came in. So she hears him say, "You've got Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you." And she says, "Like a mighty rushing wind, like a mighty rushing wind." And she takes her red carnation and she throws it in front of the altar. And so the preacher, he repeated what he said. "You've got Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you." And this woman in the front row, she's getting all fired up for Jesus. And she says, "Like tongues of fire, like tongues of fire." And she grabs her husband's red carnation and throws it in front of the altar. The pastor looks out there and sees this woman so fired up for Jesus. And he says, "Now throw your pocketbook." And she very calmly said, "Preacher, you just calm the wind and put out the fire." Spirit, Spirit of gentleness, blow through the wilderness, calling and free. Spirit, spirit of restlessness, stir me from placidness. Wind, wind on the sea. That's a beautiful Pentecost hymn. And I think my favorite verse is verse 3. You sang in a stable, you cried from a hill, then you whispered in silence when the whole world was still. And down in the city, you called once again when you blew through your people on the rush of the wind. On the rush of the wind. Wind, breath, spirit, ruach, pneuma, pneuma. It's the same word in Greek and Hebrew. God breathes into us the breath of life. God blows the mighty rushing wind of His Holy Spirit upon us. You've got spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Pentecost. It was 50 days after Passover. It was one of three pilgrimage festivals where all adult Jews, bar mitzvah, were required, expected to, no matter where they were, and you heard Larry saying all the names of those places, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Pontus, right? The known world in those days, and the Jews had been scattered, but they were expected to come home for those three pilgrimage festivals, booths, Passovers, and Pentecost. So there were devout Jews from all nations gathered together for Pentecost, which was the celebration of the giving of the law, which was a harvest festival. We are giving thanks to God for the harvest of our crops. Well, maybe when the mighty rushing wind of God has done its job, we might find ourselves praising God for the harvest of 3,000 souls. In one day, from one sermon, the church started off with 120 souls. And did they multiply when they were filled with the Holy Spirit? Created on purpose, breathing on purpose, ignited by the flame and fire of Almighty God. Luke chapter 24 and Acts chapter 1 set the stage. The crucified and risen Jesus has made a promise, and He's given a command. Stay in Jerusalem. I know what you're thinking. What's the rush? Stay in Jerusalem until when? Until you are clothed, wrapped up in the power of the Holy Spirit. Until the Holy Spirit is poured out upon you. Wait, don't get in a rush. But when you get the Spirit, don't just sit there crying out loud. People are dying. And what do? They come to Mayo. People are dying. And churches don't tell them about Jesus, who is Lord and Savior of all? This is crazy. Don't they know the urgency? Don't they see the opportunity? Jesus says, stay until. He's talking about the kingdom of God in Acts chapter 1. And the disciples want to know about the kingdom of Israel. Well, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus says, really? 40 days and that's all you can think about? When I told you, you need to get out there and preach the gospel to all nations about repentance and forgiveness of sins, and all you can think about is your kingdoms? Really? It is not for you to calculate times and tables set by your Father, fixed by Almighty God, but you will receive power, dynamite, explosive. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, all Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And as he's saying this, he ascends into heaven, the 40th day. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And now they've got to wait. Now they're in a rush. Well, a waiting rush. I mean, they're waiting, but it's not passive, sit on your bottom waiting. They are praying. And they're getting together daily. Really? I mean, that's why the Roman Catholics call it daily mass. They are gathering, assembling weekly, daily, around word and sacrament. And they're praying and experiencing Christ-centered community, koinonia. They got some work to do because Judas turned away. Some people do that. Some people walk away. For whatever reason, they harden their hearts and they walk away from Jesus. But they need to find a replacement for the 12 because Judas turned away. They cast the lots after they have prayed and prayed and prayed. And they say, it's up to you, Lord. You're going to have to decide this because we got two great qualified people. And the lot falls on Matthias. And now after they've taken care of this stuff, now they can start focusing upon, well, you know, it's almost Pentecost. I mean, tomorrow, we got a big celebration to look forward to, kind of like people looking forward to Thanksgiving and turkey, you know, and all this kind of stuff. It's a harvest festival, right? They're excited. But are they ready? I mean, are they ready for the real rush? I mean, this exhilaration that isn't just a heart palpitation, you know? I mean, this real rush of Almighty God, not a human rush. We're burning the candle at both ends, but a real Almighty God rush. Are they ready for it? Because on Pentecost Day, when everybody's assembled, everybody hears, well, it sounds like an F4 or an F5. I mean, they're assuming it's a tornado and we're goners. But it's the Holy Spirit being poured out. It's the Holy Spirit being poured out, like the baptism of the Holy Spirit upon the church, the people of God, and they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. They're all clothed with power from on high. And what do they do? What do spirited people do? They preach. They preach the good news, the mighty acts of God. That's what they do. And amazingly, I mean, this is an amazing story because it's in the native tongues. And it's a shocker to people because they're able to hear about the mighty acts of God, and there's plenty of them. And then the next thing you know is that people are at a quandary. They're going, yeah, but eighth grade educations? I mean, did they go to kindergarten even? These are Galileans. They're simple people. They're unlearned. They're not smart. How in the world did they figure out these other languages? Tell us. Explain this to us. What's going on? But in any congregation, there will be scoffers. They're drunk. That's all it is. They're just filled with new wine. You know what Peter says? Now, remember, this is the same Peter who said, Jesus, I don't think that Messiah is going to die. We don't like that. Get behind me, Satan. This is the same Peter who was bragging and boasting most of his life. This is the same Peter who, on the night that Jesus was betrayed and interrogated, is warming himself by a fire. And then a little servant girl comes and says, I know you. You're one of his. I think you've got me confused. You know, I probably have a twin or a triplet around, but it's not me, okay? By a fire, he denies Jesus three times and the rooster crows. This is the same Peter who now, filled with the Holy Spirit, ignited with the flame of Almighty God, with the fire of Jesus, is preaching. He says, you got a question? There's only one answer. J-E-S-U-S. He says, you need a sermon, and I'm here to preach. This is Peter. And he starts to preach. And the first thing he does is to address the nonsense objections. Everybody knows that among the Jews, there are people that drink too much. But none of them do it in the morning. So let's quit this nonsense about how they're filled with new wine, okay? And let's cut to the chase. What's this rush about? And Peter preaches. And Peter, in his sermon, will quote scripture from the Psalms and from the prophet Joel. You want to know what's going on? You ought to know. You read your Bible, don't you? Oh, no, our church tells us we don't need to do that anymore. You don't read your Bible? The Old Testament said that in the last days have arrived. You're living in them. That's what Jesus is telling them, right? That's what Peter is telling them now in his sermon. The last days have arrived. Joel's prophecy is being partially fulfilled right here, right now, in your presence. The Spirit is being poured out. You are being clothed with the Holy Spirit. Do you feel the rush? Right? It's more than just, ooh, my heart's beating fast. I mean, how do I explain this exhilaration? Do you feel it? Peter said, Joel promised. The prophet Joel was given a word from Almighty God, and Joel said that in the last days, which are now, God's going to pour out his Spirit upon, well, who? Just the old people? Just the little kids? Just the men? Oh, maybe just the women? All flesh. Men, women, young, old. They're all going to have the Holy Spirit because it's for a purpose. The only reason God gives us the Holy Spirit is not so we can feel good about ourselves. You know, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. Really. You want to talk about the Holy Spirit? Because I'd like to tell you a lot about the Holy Spirit of the crucified and risen Jesus. A sermon is preached, and the people hear the good news that God is fulfilling promises and the Spirit is being poured out so that whoever calls on the name of the Lord may be saved. You see the rush? This is a salvation issue. Acts 4:12 says there's salvation only in the name of Jesus Christ. And so we get the Holy Spirit so that we can tell people about Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of our sins. That's the purpose. That's the power. That's the Holy Spirit. You've got Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. I tell you the truth. The way, the life. Peter preaches Jesus, and the rest of his sermon is amazing because, yes, there will always be scoffers. There will always be some who say, I'm not interested in it. Sounds like maybe commitment. Sounds like discipleship. How about just putting my name on somebody's list? I can say I belong somewhere, just in case. But hearts are cut open and filleted. And people who were asking, what does this mean? You know what they're asking now? What must I do? That's a whole different question, isn't it? What's this about? What must I do? And you know what Peter says? He's a preacher. He says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. The promise is for you and for all that the Lord calls to himself. And then they break bread together daily. This early church that has grown from 120 to 3,120. Because it's not just the harvest festival of Pentecost, it's the harvest of souls that we're talking about. And they're having koinonia. And they're paying attention to the apostolic teachings. not just making it up as they go along. And the Lord is adding to their number daily those who are being saved. That's the rush. There was a young boy who was having heart surgery, and the surgeon was visiting with the boy and with his mom and dad, and he was trying to explain to the boy, who from the time he was born had a failing heart, had been in chronic pain, that this was really serious. He says, "I'm going to need to cut open your heart." And the little boy says, "And when you do, you're going to find Jesus there." And the doctor, you know, not wanting to, you know, be above the head of this little kid, but wanting him and his mom and dad to understand the seriousness of the surgery, said, "Well, we're going to go in and we're going to see how bad the damage is to the aorta and to the pulmonary vein, and that's what we're going to do. And you'll find Jesus in my heart, because the Bible says that Jesus lives in my heart." And so the surgeon looks over at the mom and dad and says, "I need you to help me out there. You need to help your son understand that this is really serious." And he said, "Tell them, Mom, they'll find Jesus in my heart. He'll find Jesus." Well, the surgeon did surgery later that day, and then you have to write down your notes. So on some kind of a recorder, he's transcribing about the notes from the surgery. And basically he says it was a bigger mess than he anticipated, and that damaged aorta, I mean, poor blood supply, pulmonary vein was shot. He says in his notes that he's dictating, "No chance of a transplant, no hope for recovery. Therapy, painkillers, and bed rest. Prognosis, death within a year." And then he shuts off the recorder, and this man who doesn't believe in God starts talking to God. And the surgeon says, "Why? You say you exist, why would you create a child with a bad heart to begin with who's going to only suffer and have a short life besides? Why?" And because the mighty rushing wind was blowing, God spoke to him. And God said to the surgeon, "There are some things that my children cannot understand in this world or this life. That boy belongs to me. Always has and always will. He's one of my lambs, and I've got a place for him forever. And no one's going to snatch him out of my hands. I brought him to earth for a purpose. And my little lamb, he has fulfilled his purpose. Because his mission was to recapture one of my lost lambs." And the surgeon began to weep. And later that day, when he was in the room with mom and dad waiting for this little boy to wake up, the boy wakes up and the first thing he says, "So did you cut open my heart?" "Yes, I did." "And what did you find?" And the surgeon said, "I found Jesus, just like you said I would. I found Jesus." You've got spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Fired up for Jesus. It's a rush. Because it's a matter of life and death. In the name of Jesus Christ, the lost are found, the blind see. Unbelievers come to faith. And those who are bleeding out are covered with the blood of Jesus and healed for eternity. Give me an R.
R.
Give me a U.
U.
Give me an S.
S.
Give me an H.
H.
What's it spell?
Gosh.
Amen. 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 I invite you to rise as you are able for a